I had had some scripture on my heart Monday night, and I thought that was going to be it, and I'd studied on it for most of the week, and then I was sitting over here, and God changed it, so y'all pray for me. We'll be over in St. Mark. We'll be in the 10th chapter, over in the 46th verse, and for those of you that read your Bible, this is fairly familiar scripture. This is over here in Mark when he's writing about old blind Bartimaeus over here. And it says, "And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho, and his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth had he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And this example that Christ gave to us, going through Jericho here, as I was sitting over there thinking and praying about it, is we're all just like blind Bartimaeus in our lives at some point. We're blind. And we literally are begging that the mercy that God just shows to us is us. You know, what he gives us. And we can't ask him for anything. We can't come before the throne of grace. We're not worthy. We have no way of doing so. We're beggars. Dogs waiting for crumbs off the table of the Lord. But Jesus came by, and I'm very thankful he came by my way. And I'm sure blind Bartimaeus had heard of this Jesus of Nazareth. And it took a great deal of faith to imagine this little blind man in this huge crowd of people shouting for Jesus. "Jesus, son of David, I'm over here." Couldn't see where Jesus was. Crowd of people, probably 1,000 people milling around him. Had no idea where Jesus was, but he knew Jesus was there. And that's what was important to him. And people came to him and said, "Bartimaeus, be quiet. You're going to interrupt the master." And isn't that exactly what the devil wants to tell you to do every time that we go to seek Jesus? Isn't that exactly what the devil wants us to think when we go to seek Christ? Friend, if there's anyone here in this congregation tonight that's lost and undone, that's sitting in this church right now, I'll tell you something. The devil is going to tell you, "You be quiet. You're going to interrupt their service. You don't go up there and pray. That's not what you need to be doing." But I've heard Brother Jeff say it before, and I'll always say this. These altars are always open. No matter what we're doing up here, if anybody feels the need to pray, just come on up and do it. And I'm sure you'll have at least 5 or 6 people that are willing to come pray with you and help you. But blind Bartimaeus called out, and he ignored those people. And he called out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He wasn't demanding anything from Christ. He was seeking the mercy of Christ. And Jesus, we'll look back, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Christ went his way for us. Christ came and was crucified, and he died for us. He's held up his end of the bargain. He's come to where he needs to be. Now it's going to be up to us tonight. And friend, if you're lost, it's up to you tonight to go to him. He's standing, just like he stood and with open arms waiting for blind Bartimaeus. He's standing waiting on you tonight. And it said, The crowd came unto him and say, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." The same people that had just told him, "Be quiet, don't disturb the master." Because when Jesus is present, it changes the whole tone of your life. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He cast off that dirty, filthy garment that he had. He got rid of the things in his life. And he trusted in Christ for everything. And that's what we have to do tonight. That's what we always have to do in our lives. As Christians, we have to trust in Christ in everything we do. Every step we take, every decision we make. And blind Bartimaeus rose and came to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus got up and he went to go find Jesus. And I could imagine some people in the crowd probably tried to help him. But I think he knew about where the Lord was. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And that's exactly what Jesus is asking tonight. What wilt thou that I should do for you? What would you have me do for you? I'm here. What do you need? And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And whether you realize it tonight, if you're lost, you're blind. I was blind. And we need to receive our sight. And that's salvation through Jesus Christ. And he said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole." And watch that last sentence right here. And immediately, it didn't take 3 days or 4 days or a week or a Bible class or signing a card or doing anything of that nature. Because Jesus is instantaneous. He is all powerful. He is God in the flesh. So when he asks, what can I do for you? And you ask for salvation. You're not going to have to sit around and wait around for a decision. When you decide to accept him, when he calls on you and you accept him, just like that. And your eyes are opened. And you're just like blind Bartimaeus, a man who'd never seen anything in his life. He couldn't tell you what a tree looked like. Or another man. Or a camel. So he got his sight. And he started to see all these things. And it's wonderful. The first face he saw was that of his Savior. That's the first face I wanted to see when I got my sight. I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to learn about him. I wanted to be a part of the church. I wanted to get in there. And that's what Bartimaeus did. And he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We have to follow Jesus. He said, he is the one and only way to heaven. And we have to follow him, for he is our path to eternal life. And it just blows my mind to think that, you have to pray for me. To think that Christ came. And Bartimaeus that morning probably had no idea that Jesus was going to come by. The morning that I got saved, I had no idea that that was going to be my day to receive my sight. But Jesus came by. He passed by. And I knew he was there. Because I felt about that big. And I said, I gotta do something about this. And before I could even get that thought into my head, the devil was right there next to me. "You don't need to do that. If you go pray, they're going to think there's something wrong with you." What I didn't realize at the time is there was something wrong with me. Over there in third chapter of John, I believe in verse 17, right after John 3:16, everybody knows, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should have eternal life. It talks about condemnation. And it said that Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. What I didn't know is there really was something wrong with me. Because I had that condemnation on me that's been on mankind since the very beginning. And what I didn't realize is how close I was to the physician who could cure it. And Bartimaeus didn't have any idea that morning, sitting out on this roadside outside of Jericho begging, that by dinner time that night, he would be able to see in ways he would see things and in ways that he had never thought to see before. You think the world looks beautiful now? Get saved. And it looks a whole lot more beautiful. Because you can see things and feel things and learn things and know things that you can never imagine as a lost person. And Bartimaeus had that condemnation. This flesh is corruptible. And that's what Paul talks about over in 2 Corinthians. He talks about the corruptible flesh that we have. And we get older. And we get sick. We have things wrong with us. Our hair turns gray. Trust me, guys, I'm already getting there with y'all. And your hair turns gray. It turns loose. We need glasses. We need contacts. We need dentures. We need medicine for this, medicine for that, because we're dying. Because this flesh is only temporary. And Paul said that this corruption would one day put on incorruption. And that this mortality would put on immortality. But that's through Jesus. That's only through Jesus. And we look at blind Bartimaeus. He didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate to cast off that garment that he had. We look back at Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. And he comes to him and says, you know, what must I do to be saved? Jesus says, obey all the commandments. Well, I've done that since I was a little boy. I've grown up in Jewish society. I know all of the commandments. I followed all of the commandments. I go to temple. I go here and I go there. And I follow this and I dot this I and cross that T. And I do this and this and this order. I wash my hands like this. I'm doing this and this ever since I was a little boy. And Jesus said, that's great. You've got the behavior part down. But now you need a willingness. Sell all of the stuff that you own. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Now this is the part that gets a lot of us too. He wasn't willing to give everything over to Christ. He didn't have a faith like Bartimaeus did. He didn't have that trust that Christ could provide for him. And it said, the Bible said, he went away sorrowful. We look tonight, and all these things that we have, are we willing to give them up for Christ?
Bless him.
And I had a young man ask me a while back on campus after I'd got done preaching there one day. He said, but I like drinking and going to these parties and doing this and doing that kind of thing. And I don't want to have to give that up. And I told him, I said, when you become a Christian, you're not really giving anything up. Because you're a new creature in Christ. All those things that you desired to do, all those things that you wanted to do when you were lost, are not the things that you desire and want as a Christian. So you can do anything you desire to do because those desires are going to be different from the ones you have now. And it's an amazing, wonderful thing. And there are some very, very smart men here that I go to for questions that I would trust their answers. And if you were to ask them, what does it feel like to be saved? They couldn't tell you. And neither could I. I don't know of anybody that could tell you what it feels like to be saved. But it's one of the most amazing, most wonderful experiences that I've ever had in my life. And it's not only changed the way that I see things, but it's changed every aspect of who I am. We look at the economy and we get worried. We wonder, you know, where if we're going to have a job next week, if we're going to find a job next week, what we're going to do about the car when it tears up, what the price of gas, what is it going to be next week when I'm trying to go here and there? But are we letting that get ahead of our focus on Christ? It says that, and immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I have no doubt that Bartimaeus went out and he told every person he could what Jesus had done for him. Every man, woman, boy, or girl he would walk up to, "I met Jesus. I can see. I met Jesus. I can see. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know he just left Jericho? I think he's going to Jerusalem. He's coming around here. Do you know Jesus? I was blind this morning. Look, I can see. I can count to 10 on my fingers now. I know what a tree looks like. I've never, ever felt this way before. I'm seeing things in my life that I've never been able to see. For the first time in my life, I know what I look like. And I know what that man looks like. And I could describe him to a T. That was the first face I saw in my new life. This is a new life for me. I can work now. I can see. I can work. I want to tell everyone about Jesus. Have we lost that joy? Church? Have we lost that excitement sometimes? Do we find ourselves in a rut? Doing the same old thing every day? And I think about Bartimaeus. The man got his sight. The crippled man that was healed, the lepers that were healed, Lazarus was brought back from the dead. They were excited. The woman at the well went out and told everybody what Jesus had said, what he had done for her. That living water that he had given her. As excited as they were, they went and they followed Jesus. And they told him. They told everyone about him. They told people of him. And they could say, "Jesus has done all of this for me."
That's right.
And do you know what he's done for you tonight? He died so that you might live.
That's right. He sure did.
You wonder. I've had people ask me, "Well, what has God done for me? What has Christ done for me?" And I have to ask them, "Did you wake up this morning? Was there something in the cabinet when you went to the kitchen this morning? Have you been able to have clean water?" You know, this is a commodity. There are many, many places around the world. And in fact, some in our country right now where this is what they're seeking. They don't have clean water. But you know what they need more than clean water? They need living water. And we have it. We have it in us. We have to share the gospel. We have to show people that excitement. If we walk around as Christians and we look very solemn and, "I'm a Christian, I go to Ebenezer Baptist Church, and I'm having an awful day." Now, is that really what Christ wants us to show the world? Just as Job said, he'd lost everything. Everything. And he sits there and he probably looked over at his wife, and I could imagine she would be crying. He was probably crying. And I could just imagine him looking up and saying, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," because Job knew that Jesus could provide. Just as Bartimaeus had faith that Jesus could heal him. Just as Jairus knew that Jesus could heal his daughter. Just as Martha and Mary learned, Jesus can do anything. And they had that excitement. And it said that Lazarus had went around and he'd been telling everybody what Jesus had done for him. And his testimony was so strong and so great that the Pharisees wanting to kill him for it. Can you say that you've shared your testimony so much that people know and would not want to hear you tell it again? In Acts, it says that the apostles were taken before the court and they were beaten badly. And they were turned loose and told not to preach anymore. And do you know what they did, church? First, they rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be beaten for Christ.
That's right. Bless him.
And it said the second thing they did upon their release was they went out and they started preaching the gospel. How many of us tonight would rejoice at being beaten for the name of Christ? How many of us could know that somebody hated you enough to kill you and still love them enough to share the gospel? And our ultimate example is Christ himself gave us on the cross after he'd been beaten and mocked and nailed to this cross, the most painful, the most torturous death known to mankind, and had been beaten on top of that. And I believe this brother said it Sunday night that they usually did not beat people when they crucified them, and that's true. Jesus was exceptionally tortured and killed. Above and beyond that they would do to any other man. And after all of this, with the blood dripping from his face, hanging there, looking at these soldiers and this crowd that had just had him crucified, he utters the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Yes.
Even on his death, Christ was willing to forgive those that had killed him.
That's right.
And if there's anyone here that's lost tonight, that's what Christ did for you. He died the most torturous death known to mankind for you. I firmly believe if just one person, if just Brother Olin, if just Brother Olin Crow was the only person out of all history to accept Christ and nobody else, he would have still died just as willingly for him as he would have for me or Brother Jeff or any of these other brothers over here or any of you sitting out there. Because Christ loves us.
Yes, he does.
He says he loves you. He knows your name. And as big as God is, creator of the universe, almighty, all powerful, as small as we are, he knows you. He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows your name. And he cared enough that his son died for you.
Amen. That's right.
Willingly. Voluntarily. Think about that tonight. As somebody comes around with some song. What Christ did for you. How much he loves you. And now he's standing just like he stood for blind Bartimaeus. He's standing there waiting on you. He heard, he knows the call. He knows that you need a Savior. Now it's up to you to cast off that garment and seek him.